Okay, ready? Just first off, wanted to start and thank everybody that's associated with this process. Jamal Stevenson, our college director, this was his second year, and has done an outstanding job setting up the logistics and running our meetings, coordinating everything. Coach Zimmer and the coaching staff and the work and time they put into this process. It's a great working relationship between our coaches and our scouting department. Tony Sperano and Pat Shermer did an outstanding job and added a lot of new and different thought processes to what we were looking for at specific positions. Scott Kuhn, who is kind of leading our charge in the analytics, and he took us up another notch this year in some of the ideas and how we applied the analytics to our draft process. Eric Sugarman and our doctors for all the time and effort they put in to this. The whole support staff and all our consultants. I think when I sat back there and added it up, and we'd be here for an hour if I added everything, but we had close to 100 people in some way, shape, or form that put their hands or touch our draft process as we go through this. So there's a lot of people to put a lot of hard work into it to try to help us make the best possible decisions. It's an exciting time of the year. This, to me, is always the last chance that you do get to add to your roster that a from a personnel standpoint, they can potentially have an impact on your team going forward. It's the foundation of our football team. The process of continuing to layer in another draft class, so what we currently have and what we were able to accomplish over the last couple years. When we do this, we're not only looking at the short term and what can help us next year, but we also have to look at the long term. And when I sit there and look at our roster and start to shape what our roster is going to look like in 16, but also I have to have an eye on what we're going to look like in 17 and 18. So you always have to have in mind potential guys that are going to be out of contract, whatever, if these draft kids that we bring in here, are they going to be potential players down the road for us and may have to sit a year? The one thing that I can and truly say is, and I've been doing this for 26 years now, is I've never been around a coaching staff led by Coach Zimmer and his staff on developing young talent. And I think that's becoming pretty clear and evident to the media and to the fans on taking specific guys that fit the Minnesota Vikings. And we are very in tune to what we want. And it may not be fits at other teams. You could see us pass by guys that say, why would they pass by him? He's a good football player. Or we may take a guy that a name that may not be familiar to you and say, why the heck would they pick that guy? But there is I really believe in the process that we go through, the traits that we're looking for and the system fit that these coaches want when we bring in these players. And we have a specific criteria, and our draft board gets narrowed down to specific areas in each round, and there's only certain players that are going to fit what we want as a Minnesota Viking. We were very active in the offseason. I think we ended up signing 13 of our own players, and plus our 7 practice squad guys, put it up to 20, and 6 unrestricted free agents. By doing that, I believe it gave us a lot of flexibility going into this draft. So as I sit there and enjoy reading the mock drafts and everybody out there trying to determine what we're going to do, we are in a position to take the best player. And if there's players, I know everybody's, and I'm sure I'll get a receiver question here, I'm not sure, but in case someone does, we're not honed in on a receiver in the first round. We'll look at the potential best available player, and regardless of position. And I think that's the way that we have done it, and we'll continue to do that because it ends up paying off for you, not only potential this year, but as we go into the future years. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
Rick, how did you go about incorporating Shermer and Sperano and just the new voices in, and when you get them into the room, and kind of what did they bring to the table that was different?
A couple things. I think, you know, both of them, with their knowledge, with their experience in the league, with the traits they're looking for at their positions. And I always ask, anytime we bring in new coaches or we bring in a new scout, what did you do at other places? Look at our process. Is there things that we can always add to make us better in the process we go through as we get ready for the draft? So they had some different ideas, but I know coming out of those meetings and as we talked about the players, I can truly tell you what type of player was appealing to them and what type wasn't. And there was no gray area with those guys, which I really appreciate. Now, us as a scouting department, or me personally, may not totally agree with them, but I know where they stand, and that's the most important thing.
How does that mesh with what Norv likes? How do they mesh within there?
Well, our coordinators are, when we're on offense, Norv's in there with the whole offensive side of the ball as we bring in each individual coach, and the same thing with George Edwards on the defensive side of the ball. So I know as they're sitting there and they're going through their off season and from a coaching and schemes and what they're going to do differently or what they're looking for, usually by the time we come into the draft and get ready for that, they know what they're going to do, and it gives us a better understanding of the type of players they're going to fit into the things that they're trying to get accomplished.
How does he like meshing with the new ideas? I mean, normally it seems like over the years, Norv's adjusted.
Well, I'm not sitting in the offensive meeting room, so I know Zim may be but I know just from my experience and those guys meshing together in our draft process, it was great. It really was.
Rick, what do you think of the depth in the wide receiver class? You mentioned you're not honing in on one on the first round, but it seems like also...
I didn't say we're not honing one in on the first round. I'm just saying, geez. Right.
But it seems like there's some wide receivers that you can get in the second, third round quality-wise.
And even, you know, just Stephon Diggs in the fifth. Yeah, I don't know how the draft's going to fall. And we are, like I said, we spend a lot of time at all these positions, but I do think there's a lot of quality at that position as you go down through. There's different styles, different types, small ones, tall ones. I mentioned earlier we don't look so much at the height per se as the catching radius. There's fast guys, there's possession guys, so it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of different flavors. We know after sitting and going through, you know, that position in particular, what guys that we identify think would be a good fit here, where Teddy is, has progressed as a quarterback. But I also don't want to discount our current receivers that we have on this roster. I mean, Charles Johnson did a great job 2 years ago, unfortunately got injured, never got back into the picture, and Stephon, and, you know, I know Cordarrelle Patterson has worked extremely hard this offseason, and I know everybody's excited to see him when we get out on the field here in a couple weeks. So Adam Thielen's a great, you know, third, fourth type that fills in and plays on special teams. And Jarius Wright, you know, we feel is very, very comparable in the slot. So we have a lot of young guys that are still developing, and we're hoping that will continue to grow with our young quarterback.
Rick, you've often said you want 10 picks, build that up and build through the draft. Does the philosophy change at all, though, when you're maybe not a rebuilding team anymore?
Well, I kind of take the approach that we're starting fresh. That way your mind is not skewed one way or another, and you're just focused on let's get the best football players we can get. And if we can get those guys in here, the coach will figure out how to use them and how they carve out their roles and go from there. But I don't ever say because, you know, we had success last year or because we were so active in signing all these guys that we're not going to take a player because maybe – that might not be an immediate need that people see as of today, but it sure in the heck could be a huge need that we can fill this year for potentially next year as well. So I'm always going to take the approach is I don't worry about that as much as I worry about just getting the best football players we can get in here.
Rick, what trades are essential at that strong safety spot next to Harrison Smith? And is it tougher to evaluate these prospects given they're often defending these spread offenses?
The you know, there's a couple safeties, but I think what most teams are doing now is looking at these big corners and trying to see if they can convert to a free safety. Harrison Smith, you know, can do things at the line of scrimmage very well. He plays the back end very well. I know from a philosophy standpoint, we are looking for safeties that are interchangeable. They have to be able to do both. It's not just one playing strong up to the line of scrimmage, another one playing back free all the time. So as we look at these safeties, we're looking at, can they do the things we do from a defensive standpoint, and can they be just as effective close to the line of scrimmage as they can be on the back end?
In the short term, that Michael Griffin could potentially be interchangeable like that as well?
Well, that's why we signed him, you know. And you know, we're going to see. He's learning a new system. I know one of the reasons he came here because he knew the coaching that he was going to get here and the history of this coaching staff and taking some of these vets and recreating them. And I think that will all play out as we go through here once we start to get on the field and start to see how things start to fit together.
Rick, can you describe the process a little bit, the thinking that goes into what you do after the first round in that 24 hours up to the second round?
I was kind of thinking I still wish the thing would go for three rounds in a row, but that's another point. No, we just, you know, we take – I think, you know, and it'll be interesting at the 23rd pick because I've already had two calls that I can verify today about teams potentially coming up our way. And one potentially may be in the second round. So we're going to have to make some determinations, and usually those decisions aren't made till we're actually on the clock. One, who's available there? Is he too good to pass up? Two, what is the depth behind that position? If we do pass him up, do we have another swing at a guy we like at that same position potentially in the second round? Or three, don't move out of the first round because of that fifth-year option. Maybe try to move down within the first round and still get a player that you feel very excited to get.
Being so close to the draft with Carolina rescinding Norman, surprised like that, did you guys have any interest in it?
Right now, where we're at from a cap standpoint and where we feel our team is, you know, I won't comment on because he's now a Washington Redskin, I believe. But he's a very good corner. I know we have some big bills to pay coming down the road here with some of our young guys. So I want to make sure, and I always make sure, that our players come first if we feel very strongly about them.
Is there any position you absolutely will not address or touch in the draft?
Every position will be open in the draft. There's not one position we will not look at in the draft. Are you talking the first round?
No.
Okay. No, in general, we will keep the blinders wide open.
You're including kicker and punter in that conversation?
I'm including everybody.
You recognize analytics. Are you going to use more analytics in this draft? Because you mentioned that fellow.
It's used as a tool. And, for example, you know, I won't get into specifics because I think there's a lot of trade secrets and a lot of things that we do differently in how we approach the analytics. The one thing that I know where analytics has came into the fact is I know you guys look at the value charts on trades. We don't use those at all. We look at the analytics on, okay, you know, slot number 16 and slot number 34. Is there a difference in the value of player you're getting there? Do you still have a chance to get a red starter at the 29th pick the same as you do at the 16th pick? So there are what I call sweet spots on our draft board in each round where we see value, and then if you get below that sweet spot, maybe the value decreases on the type of player you could potentially get. So we're not so honed into, well, okay, we were 300 points short on here or we won by 200 points. The fact is we're looking at historically since 1998, we look at the positions where starters have came out of the third round, starters have came out of the fifth round. So if you have a position, for example, that 98% of the starters only come out of the first two rounds, and you have another position that is stacked with that guy in the first two rounds, but you also say, there's been other guys over the history that you've gotten in the fourth and fifth round that became just as good of players, then you balance that.
Your percentage of starters that come out of the first round, I read somewhere, was 56% or
I have percentage starters from round first pick to the last pick in the seventh round.
No.
I mean, our guys, Scott Kuhn and his crew, do an unbelievable amount of work to come up with all those stats and data, and to go through the thousands and thousands of players to come up with percentages, and those are things that I would just keep to ourselves.
Rick, did you ask Teddy Bridgewater for his input on some of these wide receivers now that he's been in the league for a couple of years and is technically a veteran?
Usually, it's funny when you walk through the locker room now, especially this time of year, but most of the time, if we go talk to a player, it's usually about one of his teammates or someone that he had played with or had an association with in the past, and not so much. I'm not going to trust a player to tell me on his evaluation on a player. I mean, I've got plenty of guys that get paid to do that, to do it for a living. But it's great to kind of hear the background and the inside of what he was as a teammate, what he fit into our locker room and into our culture. So you try to get to, if we do talk, or I do, or any of our coaches talk about some of the players that have been associated with some of our current guys on the roster, most of the time it's just going to be dealing with personality and some of the Viking traits that we're looking for.
Rick, you mentioned that there's a specific criteria that you look for that only certain players fit into. What are some of those traits or characteristics you're looking for?
Just in the, you know, I know Zim has talked to you about smart, tough, and passionate players, disciplined players, but we came up with 32 different traits rated from 1 to 32 at each position. And there's a top five trait at each position. And that's including everything from our alert checks to our psychological scores to our medical scores to their mental quickness scores to their combative attitude to their coachability. That's just things layered on top of the traits that we're looking for. But each position has different traits. But I don't ever want to get it confused with utilizing all these things that we're doing and trying to get through it all. It's always going to come down to your gut instinct. It's going to come down to what they are as football players. That's the number one priority. And with all this other stuff coming available and sports science, and which we're all, you know, are believers in, but you use it as a tool. You don't use it as a decision.
You mentioned and talked about your position analysis as wide receiver, sometimes maybe one of the more tricky positions. I mean, a lot of first-round guys haven't panned out, and you yourself mentioned getting Diggs in the fifth round last year.
There's a history there of, you know, there's some really good receivers that panned out in the first round, too. So I don't think it's any different than any other position, to be honest with you. It's, you know, some things you can't predict, you know, that are going to happen. But from I don't think it's any less predictable than any other position.
Rick, how do you get everybody to agree on 32 different traits and ranking that? I mean, if you're all together, how long does that take to go through an entire?
You know, our guy's about ready to put a they're ready for a break, you know.
Rated in 32 different categories?
It's more than that, to be honest with you. I don't even want to get into mind-boggling things that we do. It's actually over 100 different categories that we narrowed down to 32 that we narrowed down to 5. So that are used as a tool, not as the decision process.
When you say use as a tool, obviously what they physically can do on a football field
is the number one priority.
So this would be maybe a tiebreaker, and that's how you use it.
Correct. But as long, you know, and that's including tying in our medical grades. I mean, that's taking everything that we do and putting it all together into one giant algorithm, or many different algorithms, spinning them out and coming up with, this is what this says, this is what we see as a football player. Okay, you make the decision what you want to do.
Time for two more.
You said at the outset you got to kind of weigh 2016 versus the future. Does that become more challenging on draft night when you are closer to winning, and when you went 11-5 last year, and you feel like you might be just a few players of need away from?
No, because I think that's a little bit of a challenge, but if you can keep the mindset on, okay, I'm not worried, you are worried about 16, don't take me wrong, but you also are looking into the future, but on the mindset, who's the best football player? And if he helps you starter day one, if he helps you somewhere at one point during in his rookie year, if he helps you not till a second year, who's the best football player that you think you're going to take? And that's the approach that we have taken. Let's get the good football players and let it work itself out.
These two calls that you got, or you say they were coming up, they were talking about coming up to the second round or first round, second round, or both?
One was first round, first round. One was second round, the first round.
Your 23rd pick, or you just heard they're asking to trade you a pick around there?
I'm not going. They've called specifically not to you know, say hello and stuff. They're asking me about my 23rd pick. Huh? I'm always intrigued. I'm intrigued in the second round. I'm intrigued in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Usually you can't trade in the seventh.
All right.
Thank you.